Mornings with Wendy Harmer.
I have a guest with me in the studio, and Nathan MacArthur. He's a bereavement counsellor. Hello, Nathan.
Hello, Andy.
How do you end up being a bereavement counsellor, I wonder? Let's start with that.
A little bit of a meandering course. Back when I was finishing up at high school back in Scotland, I was working as a nursing auxiliary in hospitals. And as I was making beds and serving meals, I found myself talking, or more listening, to the patients and what they were going through as they talked about diagnoses of cancer and how to speak with their children about what they were going through. I went on to do courses in psychology and social work before coming to Australia 10 years ago and started working with children and young people with cancer at the Children's Hospital at Westmead, and then for a charity called Red Kite. And a couple of years ago, I started working for Hammond Care as their senior bereavement counsellor and manager of that service. And we work with a whole range of people experiencing grief and loss, often husbands and wives of a husband or wife who has died, sometimes parents and sons and daughters of people who have died as well.
So you've chosen the easy stuff. Well, this must be the most difficult area of bereavement, I suppose, when you have to, well, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, explaining to little ones about sons and daughters that their mum or dad is dying. I can't imagine how difficult that must be. And so what are some of the challenges with this one? Just outline for us. I mean, some of the things that we have to consider here.
I think first to acknowledge the parent that is trying to do that explaining. So whether they're the parent that is sick themselves, or the parent that's caring for their husband or wife, they're going through a tremendous amount of emotion and loss themselves. So to then have the capacity to be helping a child, that's a big challenge in itself. This is a topic we don't often talk about, and so finding the right words to use to say to explain this to children can be a tricky thing as well. Mm-hmm. I think first acknowledging that things are going to vary depending on the age of the child, their maturity and their personality. And parents are the experts in their own children and what they're going to need. But I think there's some general guidelines that we can think mm-hmm. about to help parents with that.
Let's talk to Polly. She's jumped on the line and she's from Seven Hills. Hello, Polly.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Good, thank you. Well, you lost your dad when you were quite young.
Yeah, I was just before I turned 10. Mm-hmm. I'm 55 now, and it was a long time ago. My mother had 5 children. The youngest was turning 5, and the eldest was turning 11.
Wow, that must have come with a lot of challenges, that one, Polly. Do you think that you were included on this, and did you kind of know what was going on?
Absolutely not. Yep, I think it was a different time. Yeah. It was mum, you had to get on and go with it. Every now and again, I still have trouble dealing with it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Polly, to hear that.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. And can you tell me, what do you think was missing out of your mum's approach, Polly, if you feel up to talking about it?
I don't think it was her approach. I just think it was the times. I don't know, because you're talking the 70s. I don't know that there was counsellors around. She had people help her, but I don't think there was the resources or the people to deal with and this sort of thing, because years later it's still hard for to talk to her about it.
Yeah.
And she hasn't really dealt with it, and she has said I should have been a counsellor all those years ago, but I just don't think it was the sort of thing that you did.
I think that you're right there. I mean, I had some challenges in my own life on this one, Polly, with mum not dying but going away. And I swear I didn't know where she'd gone. I'm about the same age as you. I just didn't feel that I understood what was going on.
Yeah,
All right. Well, thanks for that, Polly, for giving us a call. Times have changed, haven't they, with what we understand about kids? I mean, in the old days, we didn't even give kids painkiller if we stitched their skin, you know. We have a very much deeper understanding of what children go through now than when Polly was young.
Yes, I think what Polly was alluding to there was about feeling included. And the one important thing that we can do for children in this circumstance is to make sure that we're giving them information that's appropriate to their age. And we talk about almost drip-feeding that information. That we're not overwhelming a child with lots of detail about what's happening, but giving them some basic nuggets of information. And often the medical team can be helpful, and the palliative care team, the social workers that are involved at that point can be helpful in helping parents to find the words. It can be useful to rehearse those conversations a little bit as well to make sure that we're feeling confident. And also, I think as adults, there can be an expectation that we will have all the answers immediately. But to give yourself a chance to say, I want to make sure I get the right answer for you for that question to the child, and to go away and have a think about it, and to think exactly how you want to give that information.
Well, we have a report here. Our ABC reporter Amanda Ho met up with Aaron Ching. His wife Tina died about a year and a half ago when their son Lucas was just 5 years old. So we'll play that report now, and if you have any queries or you want to, you know, chat or some support, whatever you would like. That's what we're here for. 1-300-222-702 is the number, and you'll be able to speak to our guest Nathan MacArthur, who's a bereavement counsellor. But here is Amanda Ho.
So there's some
keys
for us. Saying happy mummy.
You're a good drawer.
And sad mummy because
she has cancer.
She's got cancer. What happened there?
When mummy died. And there's a little story.
Mm-hmm. My name's Aaron. I'm 41 years old. I've recently gotten married again to Naomi. My first wife was, her name was Tina, and she died about a year and a half ago when she was 39. She died 2 months before our 14th anniversary. So Lucas was born in 2010, and about when he was about 5 months, Tina was diagnosed with breast cancer. She's already had secondary cancer, so it had already spread to her lymph nodes from her breast, and so they put her on hormone therapy just to suppress the potential spread of the cancer. And so she had about 3.5 years of relatively good health before the secondary, the recurrence of the cancer came back. And then she had about 14 months before she died. But she was amazing the whole time. So she was always thankful for life. She was able to be really thankful for the chance to be a mum. And she was just full of joy, and just, she said, every day's a gift from God. And she was able, she knew that much more so than most people.
Wallabies and wombats, wallabies and wombats, kangaroo.
And Tina was like living every day to the full, knowing that it was very likely that she would die from the cancer. So we would do lots of things, like have lots of special time together. We'd go on holidays. I would capture very, very mundane things. I would take photos of her reading stories with him. I would write down things for him. I would, if Tina would write a note for him, I'd try and sort of keep it. I'd just facilitate as much as I could time between Lucas and Tina, as much as she could handle, because there was still ongoing medical things, even though she had 3 and a bit good years. We started preparing him a lot by talking about sickness and death and what happens after you die. So as Christians, we believe that there is life after death. We were just saying to him, look, we don't know why mummy got cancer. We don't know why there's sickness in this world and why mummy exactly got cancer, but we're thankful for each day, and we can count our blessings and we can write them down, and we can talk to each other and remind each other of the many different blessings that we have. And some people don't even get the chance to be a mum, and some people don't even have mums. And we started reading storybooks. We started talking a lot about that even if someone's died, there's still love, and there's still lots of memories which we want to reinforce, and we want to keep making sure that he has lots of memories of Tina. So we've got lots of photos around. Before Tina died, we had this scrapbook, and so each week we'd be printing out photos, and then he'd be putting the scrapbook together, and he'd be telling me, oh, this is when we went to the circus, or this is when we went on holidays, or, oh, I like it when Mummy hugs me, or this is a drawing of Mummy. And so I'd write those down and put it together in the scrapbook, and that's something which we still look through. She talked a lot to him about saying just how much she loved him and how she hates the cancer, and he talks a lot about when he gets to heaven, he's going to be really excited, and Mummy's going to bounce up to him and saying, I'm so glad to see you. So it's hard at times just to... He obviously understands that Tina's died and that she's no longer here. He still loves her, which is exactly what we want. But at the same time, he's a kid, and kids and adults as well, but kids forget even faster. So we do lots of things to try and reinforce those memories, like looking at photos and videos. Now, can you show Amanda your memory tree?
What do they say?
I love Mummy. Mm-hmm. And kisses.
Who liked eating ruddy tissue?
Mummy and me!
Yeah,
Mummy
that's
me.
Right. So on the day that Tina died, he was meant to go to kindy orientation. And so Lucas was home, he was having breakfast, he was kind of running between the bedroom where Tina was. He was actually in the room when she died. And so he can talk about how she died, and he talks about, oh, well, Mummy was there, and then she just breathed out her last breath, and even the nurse couldn't help her. I think that was really helpful and has been really helpful going forward. I know you can't prepare necessarily for helping a child to be there when their parent dies because you just don't know, but at least we can talk about, you know, okay, well, Mummy's body was there in the bed, but she wasn't there. She's gone to heaven now. We can talk about, you know, how even the best medical services couldn't help her. And, you know, those memories and those thoughts are really helpful because we can keep talking about it. But, yeah, you just do your best, really. Thankfully, I had lots of family and really close friends around who were able to support me, and both during when Tina was sick and also afterwards and even now.
Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. All the little ducks came back.
Well, there we go. That is Amanda Ho speaking there with Aaron Cheng. And my guest in the studio is Nathan MacArthur, and he is a bereavement counsellor with Hammond Care. Now, Nathan, I have got a text here saying, this is interesting how different the approach is these days. Yep. My mother died when I was 10. I was sent away with my sister for 2 weeks after only being told God took Mummy away last night. I'm in my 60s now and I still find it so hard. Glad times have changed, says Jan. Now, we heard there that, of course, that that Aaron has a Christian faith, and so he's been able to talk a lot about heaven. But Jackie here says the hardest question is to answer, where is the deceased person gone, especially to a child? So have you got any help there for us, Nathan?
I think as children are growing up, they're developing their understanding of what those words die and death and dead mean. And as much as we can use those real words can be very important to help children's understanding.
Rather than passed away or lost or...
Passed away is confusing. Things like gone to sleep can make children fearful of going to sleep themselves. So actually using really concrete explanations about what happens when we die, that our brain stops working, our heart stops working. Children understand those parts of the body and how they operate at quite an early age. So to be able to talk about that, it takes longer for them to understand that being dead means that you're not coming back in a physical form.
Yeah.
And so to help them to, often you have to repeat that to help children to understand. And that can be a confronting thing for parents to have to go through again and again. Mm. Obviously, those aspects of spirituality and religion, that's a very personal thing for families about what they believe and what they want their children to understand. I think, though, it can be important to support children to maintain a relationship with the parent that has died in terms of being able to speak to them, whether that's in a cemetery or to a photograph or to write letters or to draw pictures to them. So there's that communication, there's that ongoing sharing information with them, sharing news with the parent that's no longer there.
One of the things that we heard there was actually that as a very young child, Lucas, he was five, and he was in the room with his mother when he died. Now, a lot of people would find that really challenging, or they would say that that's not a place for a child to be. What would you think about that?
I think our instinct, and understandably so, is to try and protect children.
Mm.
But unfortunately, this is a circumstance we cannot ultimately protect them from. Mm-hmm. And I guess as we're hearing from some of the people that have messaged in, some of what was really painful for them was being excluded, being sent away or not given information. So I think to have Lucas in the room to know what was happening, it will be interesting to see how he reflects on that when he's older. Mm. But from the people I speak to, that can be a very helpful thing to have children included in that way. But to give them choice about that as well.
Yeah. Well, Pauline from the Central Coast. Hi, Pauline.
Yeah, hi, Wendy.
And so you were 4 years old when your mum died. What did you understand of it at the time?
Absolutely nothing. So we weren't allowed to go to the funeral. My father put away all the photographs, or probably got rid of them, got rid of her clothes, and never spoke about her, and we weren't allowed to ask questions. And I was 27 before I found out where she was buried. So now I know times have changed, and I listen to your guests and think, thank God they have. But even now at my age, from time to time, it's almost like I don't remember my mother, but I miss her at a cellular level is the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm very encouraged that there are people like your guests out there in the world who are paving the way for a different appreciation, because it's tough when you know that you come from someone that's almost like they've been forgotten deliberately.
And did you ever question your father about that, Pauline?
My father was a very, I describe him as a no waiting to happen. So he wasn't someone you could approach about these things. He was very unapproachable. Mm. How we found out where her grave was my stepmother found out and she told us. And so my sister and I went for a visit, and that annoyed my father that we had found out. So I don't know if it was his own grief or what compelled him to behave in that way. And he certainly didn't seem to think that we had even a right to know. You know, even when it came to filling in insurance forms and wanting to know about causes of death, that was illnesses, family illnesses. Even that didn't provoke him to disclose anything. He just used to get angry about us asking.
Oh, well, that is so tough. Well, thanks so much for giving us a call,
Pauline.
Yeah,
thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Have you ever heard of that approach or that attitude before, Nathan?
Unfortunately, yes, I have.
And what's behind it, do you think?
I mean, that's hard to say in this individual case, but I think often things can feel so painful to talk about and to go near, and there can be an instinct to protect children. But I think, as we've acknowledged, times have changed for most people. Yeah. And I think being able to talk about the person who's died, and that's some of what all of us around people going through this circumstance can do as well, is to use that person's name, to share memories of that person, the adults that are around these children will all have different perspectives of the person who died, whether they're friends or family members or work colleagues. And so they can share some of how that person was important in their lives and their personality, and give children a window into who their mum or dad who died, who they were and how they're like them as well.
Yeah. We have got time to take a call here from James Thomas. Hello, James.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, you are the founder and managing director of an outfit called Feel the Magic Foundation, a not-for-profit. And tell us what you do.
Sure. So Feel the Magic, we support bereaved children from all over the country who have lost a parent, sibling or legal guardian, and their ages are between 7 and 17. So we do this via Camp Magic. Our camp is a grief education support program.
So you go camping?
Not necessarily. It's more like a school camp type situation where we have a combination of confidence building, resilience building, team building activities, and we have the program has been designed by mental health professionals, a clinical psychologist Anne Mills, and we have 5 1.5 hour what we call talk time sessions. So a talk time session is where they learn the grief education support. So positive ways on learning to live with and live with their grief moving forward.
And you set this up because you lost your dad when you were in your 20s, I hear.
Yes, I lost both parents. So
you
I lost my
both
dad when I was,
your mum and dad?
Yep. Yeah, so I lost my dad when I was 25.
Yep.
At that stage, I was still a kid. I consider myself, I was still a child back then. But I guess the short story, and I won't go on too much about this, but when I lost dad, I went into action mode and I wanted to support my mum. I was an only child.
Yeah.
And at that stage in my life, I wasn't taking things too serious, you know. I was still living for the weekends and had no real drive or purpose. So moving forward, I kind of set up a business, worked my backside off for many years, and all with the intention of moving mum down into a dream home. And on that day when it all came to fruition, it was my birthday, my 31st birthday, and the day we were moving in, on my birthday, my mum dropped dead from a brain aneurysm. So it floored me as a 31-year-old. It absolutely floored me, and I didn't really grieve my dad's loss, but that was a double whammy, and it hurt very much.
So you've moved into this idea. Let's tell everybody what it is again. It's the Feel the Magic Foundation. And, we've got the number here. If it's something that appeals to you, 0416 216 779. And thank you very much for giving us a call, James.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Nathan. How can we get in touch with you?
So through our website, hammond.com.au. That's got all the information about our services and the supports we offer.
And there's also something called a grief line, I believe.
Yes. So there's the grief line is 1-300-845-745. And
I've
also
never heard of that. Who runs that?
So that's a charity based down in Victoria. And also if people were to look online for the New South Wales Bereavement Counselling Directory, that's a good way of finding the local bereavement counselling service in their area.
Yep. Okay, Nathan. And just finally, I guess there's no one right way to do this, of course.
There's not. So I think giving yourself permission that this is a tough thing and there aren't rights and wrongs in this, and about finding your own way through it and being a bit kind to ourselves.
Well, I'm glad you decided with that gorgeous accent of yours to stop serving sandwiches and follow your passion. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nathan MacArthur there, who's a bereavement service team leader with Hammond Care. Mornings with Wendy Harmer.